There you go. Steve Ogden joins us from Austin this morning. How are you today?
I'm good. Good morning.
The fact that you're in Austin obviously means rather than back in Bryan, because for a lot of the time you meet through Thursdays.
But, yeah, we're in crunch time and trying to stay out of special session, so I'll be down here a while.
Now, you know, in a perfect world or a typical world, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee puts together a budget. He is a member of the majority party in his area in the Senate. You got 31 of them over there. Most of them are Republicans, and yet you couldn't get that budget through. Would you explain to the audience kind of what the weather was over there that caused you to not be able to get? You're a Republican. It's a Republican controlled body. You couldn't get the bill passed.
Well, when you're short of money, and you got to have 21 votes to make things happen, the term powerful chairman of finance just becomes chairman of finance.
You got to scratch that off the card, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. But the way I would explain it is that there's 31 members of the Senate, and we were divided up into thirds. And one-third were the Democrats, and they had a perspective. And then two-thirds were the Republicans, but the Republicans were split down the middle on the issue of how much of the rainy day fund to commit to balancing the budget. And in order to do what I was trying to do coming out of finance, I had backstopped the budget with $3 billion of the rainy day fund, which I thought was perfectly fiscally responsible, but others disagreed. And when we're divided into thirds, I could never get to 21 votes, which was what was required in order to spend the rainy day fund. This is different than the two-thirds rule, even though the number just happens to be. But that 21 vote hurdle to spend the rainy day fund was the reason that we did what we did for the rest of the week, because we could never muster in a Senate that was divided up into thirds, a combination that reached 21.
Well, you never got any support from either the governor or the lieutenant governor, so you were pretty much out there at point man for spending any of the rainy day fund.
Yeah, I was walking around the floor, and I said, you know, it's really lonely in the middle.
Yeah,
it's just real lonely.
Now, one of the things that you did that I was not aware of is that on certain days of the week, y'all can change the rules in the Senate.
Well, we don't change the rules. That's the rules recognizes that, and I mean, this may be a play on words, that the rules are different on certain days of the week, and we didn't change them. That's just the way they are.
Okay.
And it has to do with the issue of the regular order of business. And we routinely suspend the rule to take up a bill out of its regular order of business, and that's the 21 vote rule, because in order to get a suspension, you got to have two-thirds vote.
Mm-hmm.
But House bills, which have a different order of business as Senate bills, the appropriations bill had worked its way to the top of the calendar, and so on Wednesdays and Thursdays, when you were recognized on a House bill, you didn't have to suspend the rule to take the bill out of regular order of business, because it was the regular order of business. And so it's kind of, for people who aren't in the middle of it, it sounds kind of bizarre, and I guess maybe it is, but that's the way the rules work, so we used them.
Now, what we found, I guess, is that this is a pretty influential House of Representatives. It has a lot of young, a lot of new members in it.
Well, it is, and there's, it's sort of like, it's taken on sort of a mythological status. You know, you just say, well, the House over there, and the House does this, and the House does that. One of my frustrations is I would like to test a lot of the theories about what the House is willing to do, but I haven't been able to test them, because I haven't been able to get 21 votes. So, but they are influential, and it was a watershed election last November. There is no doubt in my mind when you go to from about a evenly split House between Republicans and Democrats to one that's over two-thirds Republicans, the voters were sending a message, and the message was, is we are not happy with a government that seems incapable of controlling its spending. I mean, that was a very clear message.
Now it's time for a conference committee, and as you sit down, I'd like to talk about the mechanics of that, but first, do you come into this situation feeling less powerful than you did 2 years ago because your body is not united behind you like they were before?
Well, no, I don't. It's just going to be a different bill because the votes that I need to pass this bill coming back are all Republican votes, and so we'll have to write a more conservative budget than we were did 2 years ago. And the reason is that the people that are voting for it are more conservative. So now I don't think it's a matter of being more powerful, although had Democrats voted for House Bill 1 instead of voting no, it would have given me more leverage. So I guess I've kind of talked myself in a circle. Yes, yes, I'm less powerful than I would have otherwise been.
Well, but nonetheless, but you're right. There were no Democrats voting for this.
The interesting thing about it is that, in my opinion, they were happy with what happened because this is a difficult budget to vote for. It is controversial. The cuts are real and painful, and the methods of finance are controversial. So it's hard to fall in love with this budget. And what I said on the Senate floor was it takes courage to vote for this bill and move forward, and I want to thank the people who have the political courage to move the bill forward. And implicitly, the safe political, I don't want to get in trouble vote was no. And I think the Democrats as a party decided that, well, you know, this is not the kind of budget that we would want to brag about, so let's just make the Republicans responsible and let the people hold them accountable. We don't want to be basically associated with it or responsible for it, so they voted no.
How does the conference committee process start? Because you'll start that this weekend. What do you do when you sit down in the room and close the door?
Well, the Legislative Budget Board will have printouts that will list article by article, and there's 12 articles in the appropriations bill, and each article it will list in a side-by-side fashion what the House says and what the Senate says, what the House appropriates and what the Senate appropriates, and on the areas that we agree, it's not even on the conference committee report. So all you see on these little printouts is the differences between the House and the Senate bill, and then a House member and a Senate member who's assigned to that particular article will sit down and start negotiating the differences, and typically what happens is most of the time is you split the difference. You say, okay, you want to spend $50 million, we want to spend $70 million, how about $60 million? Okay, and then it can be that fast. We'll slow down on three areas. One will be public education funding. There is a huge difference between the Senate's version of what we should do in public education and the House, and we'll slow down on that one. That'll probably be the most likely sticking point of the negotiation. I think there will be disagreements that will take some time to resolve in the area of public safety, and then I think in the area of health and human services, we may have a difficult time coming to an immediate agreement. But besides those three areas, I think this thing may go pretty fast.
Okay, so it's May 6th, pretty fast. What do you think?
The way the calendar works is that we've got to have basically the bill done and sent to the printers, quote, in about 10 days.
Okay. Finally, we talked to Bill Flores earlier this morning about the fact that there was no federal aid forthcoming for the 2 million acres plus of land that's been burned in Texas. Anything we're going to do in Austin?
Well, yes. I've got a bill that's on the counter now called House Bill 4, and in that bill is $50 million appropriation to the Texas Forest Service to help the Texas Forest Service pay for and reimburse those who have fought the fires. And it's gotten pretty expensive. I mean, it's up to $50 million. And that number is changing. I hope, you know, I don't know what Bill had to say, and I don't know why there's no
He said politics, fund. Pretty much. He
but
said
we're going to appropriate the money to Texas Forest Service to pay our bills.
There you go. All right, we'll talk again next week. I know you'll have a busy weekend and early part of next week, and we'll chat with you next Friday.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye.
Bye. Steve Ogden calling from Austin.
Hi, I'm Charlie Light, owner of Charlie's in College Station. I'm here to ask you to support Bryan College Station and shop locally and keep jobs and businesses in our community. Keeping your business in town allows Charlie and other local businesses to contribute to the local tax base and support the local charities. Remember, before you shop out of town, shop locally whenever you can. It's good for Bryan College Station. It's where our jobs are.
Brought to you by Bryan Broadcasting and the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce.
This is Tony Morelos with W.E. Gibson Insurance. You know, the term one size fits all does not apply to insurance. For example, the insurance premium for two people the same age with identical driving records driving the exact same automobile could vary as much as 30% from one company to another. Today, the insurance companies use a wide array of factors to calculate premium, such as occupation, credit score, prior insurance history, and vehicle usage. The question is, how do you know which company offers the best rate for you? That is why you should consider an agency that represents many insurance companies. At W.E. Gibson Insurance, we represent over 30 insurance companies. We can help you find the very best fit for your insurance needs at a very competitive premium, and we will offer you exceptional service. Give us an opportunity to offer a quote the next time you need insurance. Drop by our office at the Kroger Center on Rock Prairie, or call 694-1555. We think you will discover why so many of your friends and neighbors choose W.E. Gibson Insurance.
Hi, I'm Roy Flores. We have a spending problem in our district. I have 17 years' experience in finance. As a small business owner, I know you can't throw money at a problem. You have to find solutions, and I'll bring that experience to the board. As for corporal punishment, if it keeps weapons out of schools, helps teachers maintain discipline in their classrooms, or teaches a child to respect their elders, I'm all for it. How about you?
Vote Saturday, May 14th, paid for by the committee to elect Roy Flores, Monica Palisota, treasurer.
It's 9 till News Talk 1620 WTAW. We have nothing but names from now till 9 o'clock, I think.
Bill.
Names? Yeah, names.
Jack.
Bob.
Jehoshaphat.
We do this every year. We
Shadrach,
do this.
Meshach.
We do a list of names, and you decide whether or not it was a derby horse or not. Okay? Because we got the derby coming up tomorrow. All right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Brilliant Speed. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Double Chocolate.
Yes.
No.
No.
It should be.
Yeah. Stay Thirsty.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm up by two.
Pants on Fire.
No.
No.
Yes.
Oh, still up by two.
And it's Pants on Fire. Uh-huh. Derby Kitten.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Golly.
Mr.
I'm going to start saying yes, and now we're going to have
I'm going to start betting on the ponies. Yeah. I'm good at naming names.
Mr. Sharpie.
Yes.
Yes.
No. Happy Hank.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Mucho Macho Man.
No.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Listen Closely.
No.
Yes.
No, but I think that's a great name.
Yeah, that one should be too.
And
still
of course,
up by two.
Yeah, and Uncle Mo.
Well, actually, yes and no. He was just scratched this morning
but
from
still
the race.
But he still is.
He still exists, yeah. But he's not a derby horse anymore. I just saw it. He was scratched this morning.
Okay.
So
dang,
anyway.
I was going to.
So yes or no?
I was going to vote.
Both
on
win.
That.
Yes.
The other one, which we have, which I don't have time for right now, we'll do it on Monday. The Houston Chronicle apparently went through their local records and found the goofiest names of people born in Houston last year.
Oh.
So we'll do that. We'll do that tomorrow. I mean, on Monday. We're not coming back tomorrow. Here's our annual list of the most popular baby names. Baby names, okay?
Uh-huh.
This will be for girls first, ladies first. Number 10 is Mia. Number 9 is Cleo. Number 8
How about
is
Chloe?
Chloe, not Cleo.
Not Cleo.
That's right, sorry. Number 9 is Madison.
Cleo. That was the dog and Topper,
that's
though.
That's right, it was. That's right.
You got to come see the baby. It's baby Cleo.
Number 8 is Madison. Number 7 is Abigail. Number 6 is Emily. Number 5 is Ava. Number 4 is Olivia. Number 3 is Emma. Mm-hmm. Number 2 is Sophia. And number 1 is Isabella.
Isabella.
That's the Twilight effect.
Yeah, apparently. I think it is. Number 10 for the boys is Anthony. Number 9 is Aiden. Number 8 is Daniel. Number 7 is Noah. Number 6, Alexander. Number 5, William. Number 4 is Jaden. Number 3, Michael. Number 2 is Ethan. And for the 12th year in a row, the mm-hmm. number 1 name is Jacob.
And although Jacob's been on that list for as you said, numerous years, but that's also the Twilight effect as well, Jacob and Isabella.
But wait, there's more. Now it's the most hated baby name.
All right.
The most hated baby name.
So if you're named this, happy weekend.
You know it. The list comes from Laura Wittenberg, who's the author of The Baby Name Wizard, a magical method for finding the perfect name for your baby. They don't like trendy names, you know. They don't like the trendy names.
No.
So, all right, here's, I'm just going to
trendy as in biblical?
mean, yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's been trendy for a few thousand years, yeah. But that's okay.
All right, so we're just going to do the.
Mary ain't going to be on there. No. I don't know what this list, Mary might be on there.
All right, here we go. Number 10. For girls, Bertha.
Have you ever seen a foxy woman named Bertha?
Number 9. But you know, you see from a Hollywood effect, I mean, mm-hmm. I could see you ought to do that. You
uh-huh.
know, but anyway.
Bertha. That's a drum in Austin,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number 9, Michaela. Number 8.
That one's trendy.
Yeah. Number 8 is Caitlin.
Trendy.
Number 7, Gertrude.
Have you ever seen an attractive woman?
Number 6, Addison. Number 5, McKenna. Number 4, McKenzie. Number 3, Madison, which was on the top 10 list over here a minute ago. Number 2 is Destiny. And number 1 is Nivea, which is, of course, heaven spelled backwards.
Oh,
maybe
nice.
Nivea.
Or, yeah, either way. Number... Do you know a lot of them? I mean, I don't know.
No, but as I've heard pointed out before, you know, it's as if parents consider that this child will remain a child
yeah.
their entire life and will never submit a resume
yeah.
or no one when they're old and gray will stand over their casket and eulogize, you know, great aunt Nivea.
That's right. And of course there's Famili. Yeah. The F-A. Yeah, F-E-M-E.
Famali.
Famali could be that
you
one.
You almost got it, but you epically failed at it.
Now,
hey,
all right,
hey, the pronunciation police is here, yeah. by golly.
Right. Number 10, here we go, for boys. These are, again, the most hated names for boys. Number 10 is Jackson.
Did you hear that?
Number,
boy.
It's a family name. I don't care what they do.
Number 9 is Michael. It says here because it's too boring. Number 8 is Tristan. Number 7.
There's an angel that might have a problem with that statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number 8 is Tristan. Number 7 is Bentley. Number 6 is Hayden. Number 5 is Hunter. It sounds too violent. Number 4 is Caden. Number 3 is Aiden. Number 2 is Braden.
Caden, Aiden, Braden.
Jaden.
Jaden. Yep.
Oh, my God. Just don't end your kid's name in an E-N.
Lee.
Or Y-N.
Anyway, those are the, at least according to this lady. There you go. So you got your top names and you got your most hated names. And you know, go ahead and just name them whatever you want.
There you go.
Again, family names are always good, too.
Hey, if you like to sew and your sewing machine is just not working correctly or it's running slow and you can't get your projects finished, then you need to come see us at Sovac City. At Sovac City, we have a full-service repair department, and we can make your sewing machine run like new again. Our service department is trained on all machines, including the new computer sewing machines and even the commercial multi-needle embroidery machines. We now have 2 locations to serve you. Sovac City and College Station in front of HEB are our new warehouse showroom location at 700 South Bryan Avenue in downtown Bryan. Sovac City and College Station and now in Bryan. Come on down and see us.
Mom taught me a lot about growing up. She taught me about anticipation.
Just wait until your father gets home.
How to become an adult.
If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up.
She taught me about genetics.
You're just like your father.
But most of all, she helped me grow into the person I am today.
This year for Mother's Day, give mom what she needs. The gift of relaxation from Riviera Salon and Day Spa. Call 693-0350 or visit RivieraDaySpa.net.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. All right.
Oh, we just scooted right along, haven't we?
Now I can take a breath. Got all those commercials in, though. God love them. We're glad they're here.
Oh, man, are we ever.
Yeah, we are.
If they weren't, we wouldn't.
This might be a first, a snake in a dishwasher.
A snake in a dishwasher?
Yeah, Eugene, Oregon.
Crawled out of the grass?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Michael Fitch had to suit up with gloves, tongs, and a lunch bucket to grab hold of a snake that had slinked its way into his dishwasher. He hates snakes. Wife grabbed a camera, got all the photos, and sent them to the local TV. That's always nice. Thanks, hon, for doing that.
He hates snakes. Do you ever hear anyone say, I really like snakes?
Yeah, I love snakes.
Very fond of them.
I spent 45 minutes getting a bird out of my garage yesterday. I'm
Did you? 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
stupid bird.
Did you open the garage door?
Yeah. It would get, I have more than one garage door, and so it would get on the rail of the one that I would close. So you would close it and jump over to the other one.
This bird was just messing with you, Scott.
It wouldn't leave.
No, he's messing with you.
45 minutes. I had to take off the screens and open all the windows in the garage.
It's a tough world out there.
Yeah, it is.
You got probably neat stuff in your garage.
Yeah, sure.
He felt at home.
Wind
chimes. Yeah, I know you got wind chimes. You know, dusty in the corner somewhere.
Oh, right. You got a bubble calendar somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, they cost $49.95.
I didn't get that on eBay. All right, on this date in history, 1940, the Grapes of Wrath, won the Pulitzer Prize for John Steinbeck. 1954, Roger Bannister ran that mile under 4 minutes, and that was on this date. In 1965, Keith Richards fell asleep trying to come up with an improvisation, and fell asleep.
On the freeway.
But actually what happened, he'd left the tape recorder going, and he'd been so drunk, I guess, he woke up, and the opening riff of Satisfaction was on the recorder. So
there you go.
Yeah, all right, you got about 30 seconds.
Jacob Lusk voted off of American Idol last night. Yeah. Randy Jackson said Lusk probably sang the highest.